Western pressure and sanctions. A lot of people are asking, what is the objective of these sanctions and have the sanctions been effective? You know, when it comes to the reasons for the sanctions, the Obama administration has said frequently that it was the sanctions that led Iran to the negotiating table.
Well, first of all, President Ahmadinejad was never the prime minister of Mr. Rafsanjani. And President Rafsanjani was the president before President Khatami, and then after President Khatami, we had President Ahmadinejad, so they have nothing to do with one another. The sanctions have been leveled against ordinary Iranians. And again, if you look at WikiLeaks documents, and I would advise your audience to do so, they're very interesting. The objective from the very start was to make ordinary people suffer. That has been stated explicitly by American officials time after time. Even in the public sphere, it has been said in a more implicit way. So the objective has been to make ordinary people suffer. And the current sanctions, which are American sanctions, it has nothing to do with the UN Security Council or anyone else. The Americans are threatening third countries from doing trade with the Iranian Central Bank or with the Iranian banks. And so the Americans are basically threatening countries like Japan, Korea, South Africa, China, and everyone that does trade with Iran, that they have to abide by America's rules, not international law. But I think one of the most extraordinary points is regardless of the fact that the sanctions have killed ordinary Iranians, people have died because of a lack of medicine over the last couple of years when we had a crisis of medicine, and the United States is obviously responsible, just as it was responsible for the downing of the Iranian airliner, as it was responsible for the chemical weapons along with the European countries that Saddam Hussein used. But the United States president, when he constantly speaks about all options are on the table, he is breaking international law. The UN does not allow, the charter itself does not allow the threat of force against any country. So every time Obama threatens ordinary Iranians with bloodshed, with bombardment, he is breaking international law, and he is attempting to terrorize ordinary Iranians. And I think that is a sign of an uncivilized political order.
Well, before I put the next question to Mr. Korb, I'd like to give our viewers a chance to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page about tonight's debate, and we'll be right back.
There is a direct relation between the 1979 revolution of Iran and the present situation of the world. At that time, revolution was only in Iran, but now it has started in all nations of the world against tyranny and oppressive rulers. Revolution gives them all they want to stand on their feet. I love Iran and its people. Iran is one of the few countries left that refuses internetization, McDonald's, US military bases, Chabad, and Rothschild Central Bank.
Comments posted on our Facebook page. Now, I'll go straight to Mr. Korb in Washington. Now, Mr. Korb, Iran has always said since the revolution that the entire revolutionary movement was about gaining independence, becoming an independent country that, which can stand on its own feet. And a lot is being said about the level of hostility towards Iran because of that, because those commentators also saying Iran wants independence. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying if America is really concerned about Iran's nuclear program, why don't we see the same policies, for instance, against Israel, which is known to have the sole arsenal of nuclear weapons in the Middle East?
You're breaking up. I don't know what the problem is here. I think, at least as I understand my colleague back in Tehran, I think it's important to keep in mind, yes, the United States has been vigorous in enforcing the sanctions, but they were authorized by the international community. If they were not, they wouldn't work, because if other countries were able to deal with Iran, the sanctions...
You mean we didn't have unilateral American sanctions?
But but they authorized. The United States basically is acting under international law to enforce these sanctions and to get other countries who try and get around them. I mean, whenever we've had sanctions against an international community has ever had sanctions, people try and get around them. And what the United States has said is, you try and get around them, you're going to have difficulty dealing with us, with your international financial system. Another country that's been much more strong on the sanctions than us is France. I mean, France has been very, very much out front in trying to put the sanctions on. So it's not, the United States couldn't do it alone. If it was just U.S. sanctions, they would not be effective. And whatever else the impact was, I think it had a lot to do with a more moderate candidate like Rouhani being elected instead of Ahmadinejad. When you have a president, like the Ahmadinejad, who is out there saying these horrible things, whether he means them or not, people begin to think that they have to take tough actions. When you talk about wiping another country off the map, for example, people are going to want to keep all options off the on the table. So I think that's really important.
Well,
when
Mr. Cole,
we
are speaking about
the
current circumstances now, aren't we? I mean, just putting aside the term of Ahmadinejad under President Rouhani, now when talks are underway, when a deal has been reached, when both sides have come to an agreement, do you think that the sanctions regime anyway has been effective, and should it continue or be increased from this stage on?
Well, some have been relaxed. In fact, there were $500 million, I know for a fact, has been relaxed, that they used to purchase things that they gave away as part of this celebration. So some have been relaxed. The others basically have not been increased. They've been enforced, the ones that still exist, and they won't all come off until a nuclear deal has been reached. And I think Iran, under the Rouhani government, has acted very responsibly.
Yes.
They've let the IAEA in to do more inspections, and I think that's a step in the right direction. President Obama faces a lot of criticism from people in the United States who are skeptical that Iran will live up to the bargain. But he's been out front and saying, if you try and increase the sanctions, I'm going to veto them. And the Congress has backed off.
But hasn't the U.S. been adopting double standard policies when it comes to Israel, for instance, the issue that we pointed to earlier?
In terms of a double standard?
In terms of nuclear weapons.
Okay, now here's the deal, and I think this is so important. Israel, India, Pakistan have not signed the non-proliferation treaty. Iran has, and that's the basis on which the international community is taking action, because they've signed a treaty, they haven't lived up to it. Because when you sign that treaty, you get access to certain nuclear materials from the international community. So it's not a double standard. It's basically enforcing an international treaty to which Iran has signed.
Well, let's now, Ms. Marandi, to...
And by the way, it wasn't the...
Yes.
And by the way, it wasn't the United States that helped Israel develop the bomb, it was France.
Okay. Well, Dr. Marandi, our guest there is saying that because these countries he mentioned there and Israel, they haven't signed the NPT, this is not double standards. And he also said that the sanctions imposed by the U.S. are based on international law. Your response?
Well, there are a number of issues that were raised, and one is that the U.S. sanctions have nothing to do with international law. They're completely against international law. But the United States behaves like a rogue state, and therefore it thinks it is beyond the law. Such as U.S. support for Israel, which is an apartheid regime. Even the former U.S. President, Jimmy Carter, has effectively said that Israel is an apartheid regime. We all know that Israel is a racist state, but the United States supports racism in this part of the world, just as it's been supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria for the last 3 years, and now suddenly it's backing off. So the United States is used to using double standards in its policy, both at home and abroad. With regards to Iran, The United States, support that the Iranian government gives to the public has nothing to do with the funds that were released. This is a policy of President Rouhani, and it's a policy that existed before President Rouhani, and it will continue. And the money that has been released is Iranian money that the United States is unlawfully holding. Also, President Rouhani has not come to the negotiating table because of sanctions. The sanctions have existed before, and the Iranians were at the negotiating table before. We've had a series of negotiations with the 5+1 and the United States. And it has nothing to do with any rhetoric of President Ahmadinejad. President Ahmadinejad never threatened any country. I think your guests should take a careful look at the mistranslations, the willful mistranslations in the Western media. But I think the important thing to keep in mind is that these sanctions are illegal. They're directed at ordinary Iranians.
Right.
They're intended to make Iranians suffer. And the Americans have a history of this sort of behavior. The United States helped Saddam Hussein use chemical weapons against the Iranian people. The United States tried to mislead the international community into thinking, that, according to an op-ed in the New York Times, that Iran actually carried out the chemical attacks. So when the United States is implicated in crimes against humanity during the Iran-Iraq war, you can't expect to behave any other way today.
Mr. Manadia, I'm afraid we've run out of time, so I've got to end the program now. I do thank you very much, Dr. Mohammad Marandi with the University of Tehran, with us live from the Iranian capital, and also our guest in Washington, Mr. Lawrence J. Korb with the Center for American Progress, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense. Thank you so much for staying with us here on The Debate.